Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. I'm here on With Insights Radio today. I hope you can join us. I hope you bring your friends along. Today's topic, we're going to be talking about animal guide meditation using the ceremonial bunk. Of course, our topic exceed and go about into different realms and different things about animals. Basically, this topic today is about animals, your animal guides, and then how the animals approach you, how they pick you, how you pick them, and how you come together with them. Now, what I'm noticing here, I'm having a little difficulty on my radio here. One second. Okay. So, now a little technical difficulties out of the way, we should be fine. All right, sounds good. Sounds like we're on. I apologize about that, folks. Internet can be kind of a funny thing sometimes. All right, well, topic today, animal guides. What are animal guides? Many people think the animals speak for us. They actually do things for us. They are messengers for us. They talk to us. And a lot of that's true, and I'm sure there's a lot of things that I'll probably miss, and there's things that I'll learn through the talk and talking to everybody on air. My experience with animals is they're in tune. They're very in tune what goes on Earth and in the universe. They understand and they feel, and the reception and perception of things is more than anything. Sometimes we wonder why earthquakes happen and then the animals are leaving town, packing their bags and taking off. Well, because number one, animals are grounded. Animals are connected. That's one of the biggest differences between animals and us. What I understand of animals, and just if I'm raising dogs and cats and little hamsters and fish and different species, llamas and different things that I've come in contact with over the years, is that animals are God's creation, just like we are. The animal is more connected to God than sometimes we are. Animal lives in the moment. When I say animal, I'm talking about your pets, the deer that run across the road. Sometimes we wonder why the deer runs across the road. Well, you know what? That road belonged to the deer before it belonged to us and his generation and his ancestors. We take animals for granted, that animals are the spirit of God. And when the animals fly above us or when they cross our paths, they're giving us a message. And they're telling us. They're wanting us to be more awake and more alert. And sometimes us as humans, we fail to observe the obvious. But to an animal that lives every day outside in the cold or inside of your house or inside of a living room or wherever, they live in the moment. They live in the now. Squirrels and chipmunks and mice and stuff, they're gatherers and they think about the future, but not in the sense like we do. A dog, a family dog, doesn't pack a lunch. He doesn't take things and put it away. There are a few cases, but the thing is, animals live for now, and they understand the now. They understand that the moment is important to them, that if they do what they're supposed to do, that things will work out for them. They don't worry about it. They don't stress out about things. They get worried and stressed out is when we don't take care of them. But your family dog is a good example, your family cat. He gets up in the morning, or she gets up in the morning, and they ask for food, and we put it in the bowl. They live in the moment. And sometimes we need to learn from our little four-legged. We need to learn from the four-legged that living in the moment is very important. And maybe we wouldn't be so stressed out worrying about yesterday and worrying about tomorrow. Because I know my dog doesn't worry about what happened yesterday. The only thing he remembers is the behavior, my behavior, towards him or her at that moment, what I did yesterday. Because he recognizes that. They have memory too. Let's not take them for granted. That animals have memories and they remember things and they know how you treat them. And they're in touch with you. Some people can speak to their animals. Some people can understand them by gestures, the way they move. I guess maybe that's one way I understand my animals, more through gesture and through symbolism. I can see birds in the air or certain type of raccoons or deers running in front of me. So what I'm here to talk to you today about is the animals. Native Americans are very in tune to their animal guides. A lot of people have spirit guides, but you have spirit guides as animals too. So today, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about different animals that you're probably familiar with and the things they do. Like, for instance, we talk about the eagle. The eagle is a majestic bird, very powerful, very strong. And when he calls, you can hear him. When he screams or she screams, it's a screeching. Ah! Amazing. Well, eagle medicine, from what I've known and what I've been taught, is the power of the Great Spirit. Who's the Great Spirit? It's a connection to divinity. Divinity is who? It's God. And that's why the eagle is very symbolic and very important. So when I tell you these things about animals, but what I really want you to do is, you know, gather your own information about the animals. What does the eagle mean to you? Not what to me or to Native Americans or to anybody or to, you know, the symbolization of our country here in the United States, if you live here, as the power eagle, the power source. Oh, think about it. Journal. What you need to do is journal every day all the animals that come across your path. Animals tell us. They are our messengers. We need to be in tune. And I say we need to is because many, many, many times I myself have avoided an accident or avoided a situation just because I paid attention. Just because I paid attention to the small detail of something that I saw. And sometimes the animal's talking not necessarily a physical harm, but also about ourselves in our bodies. You see mouse, you see squirrels, you see anything four-legged that crawls on the ground. Then you need to work and you need to look inside yourself. In our tradition of Nemanja, what we see when we see an animal of a squirrel caliber or something like that, it's a signal to us that we need to look inside. But there's something about us that we need to look inside of. And the same with the eagles. When I talked about the eagles earlier, the divinity, it's the east door. So when you look at the east door, understand that the eagle is a sees far. He has the great vision to look beyond. So sometimes we have to understand of the little messages that our friends bring us. So, eagle, divinity, mouse, looks within. And you travel. When we do work on the medicine wheel, when I do work with people, these are the things I look for. The buffalo is a good example. We seek counsel at the buffalo door. The buffalo door is very important. What does it mean to seek counsel for somebody? It means a lot. A lot. It's very important. At the north door, we seek spirits, heavenly beings, the wolf sign. So our friends aren't just telling us little things, and they're not just there. Because remember, we're sharing this habitation with them, this world, this life. So now, when we talk about animals, let's talk about your friends, the dog and the cat. The dog, very noble, very loyal. Do just about anything for you if, you know, treated properly, treated right. They're like people. They just need love. The dog's been around for centuries, for eons. Dog's been there. It's either been, I hate to say it, food for people, or it's been there as a protector, a warning, a first alarm system in the world. So we have a lot to thank for the animals, the dogs, to think about them. And the same with our cats, our household cats. Our cats, I believe, have been breaded down over time. The cat is one of the only animals that will just actually kill another animal for fun, out of spite. It's the most dangerous animal. It's a household cat. And proven and shown that they will just mutilate and destroy things out of sheer pleasure. If that's their thinking, that's their way. It's not our way. It's their medicine. They have to do things like that for some reason. So, what I would like you to do is to, open up and start journaling every day that you run into animals and what you're running into and how they're approaching you in your life. Because what happens with the animals, they speak. They speak truth. Animals speak truth. And if you want truth, look at the animal. Look at the deer that's crossed your path. The hawk that's flown over. The hawk is the messenger. Messengers of God. There's a message there. The otters in the femininity. The moose, stamina. All these things are very important. But when you start journaling just every little detail that comes to you. What came across in your mind at that moment? What were you thinking of when you thought of that? Because as you journal, the things will change over time. Some things will stay the same, and some of the things will be completely different. So what I'm going to do now is just give you some ideas, read to you about certain animals and how they're important. We've spoken about the eagle, kind of have an understanding of the eagle, and the eagle also is the contrary. You have to always have the contrary to things. We know that the eagle in reverse is the power sign of the Great Spirit. Sometimes we have to recognize that the Great Spirit is trying to speak to us. And sometimes we have to say, okay, the eagle presents itself to me. So obviously God is trying to communicate to me through him and through many things, because through God's spoken word, we can't hear. It's too powerful. It's too strong. Then we speak about the messenger, the hawk, the messengers of the gods. The messenger of the sky circles my dreams and teaches me the message as we fly. Those are messages that we have to understand. And, as we see, the hawk also has a contrary. The hawk is drawn in reverse. Now, sometimes we need to pay attention to the message. What is the message? Okay, the hawk is giving you a message. But that's not always about the message. Maybe we are the messengers too. Sometimes we give too much power to other things and to other beings. Or you may see an elk, depending on what regions of the country you live in. And the elk is stamina. This is the stamina sign. When you see elk, or maybe a deer as well, the elk is very powerful. The elk can outdo and outrun and out-hustle a pack of wolves through his domain. He knows they are powerful. And when he creates his odor, his scent, when he's trying to mate. So the stamina. You see an elk and you say, stamina. Maybe you lack stamina. Maybe that's the contrary. And maybe you need to keep staying power, to stay strong. The elk is not the fastest creature, but he is powerful and he has the strength to outdo and outlast. Now, the deer represents gentleness, the sweetness, the love, the fawn of the Great Spirit. Now, here with the deer, it's loving. Good example, Bambi. Bambi is gentle. So the gentleness is, when you see deer in the road, you say, oh, deer, careful, watch out. Like I said earlier, the deer, he migrates, he moves, and he travels, and he's forced, and he's pushed into areas that he's not accustomed to. So he stands in the middle of the road. He doesn't know it's a road. He knows it's his home, and his ancestors traveled that path. So us, as humans, have to understand that the deer is a gentleness. Now, the contrary, the opposite, for everything that is good, there's a back side of us. Now, the position of the deer, in contrary, is if we're not gentle, then we're fighting or feisty. Maybe we're not gentle enough. Maybe the deer is saying that we need to be more gentle with ourselves and with the people that we know. And that's something, these are the things you have to understand about animals. These are just things that I've been taught, I've learned. The deer can mean something completely different from you. And that's what I want you to draw upon and create what you think is important for you, not what's important for me. So when you journal this, these are just ideas. Now, we move on, and we're talking about the introspect, the bear. Be introspective. The bear, I mean, he hibernates in the winter. Why? To gain that introspection of himself. The bear medicine is very powerful. And that's why in a lot of medicine wheels, the bear lives in the west door of the medicine wheel. The bear seeks honey, or he seeks sweetness, truth, within, and he looks in the old trees. And then when the winter comes, he hibernates. He puts himself to sleep. He goes into almost like a death. And then the bear has to think, and he's creating, and he's thinking. And sometimes we have to be like the bear. We have to look inside and say, be introspective. But the contrary of the bear also is that sometimes we're not. Sometimes we don't look, and sometimes we don't create that dialogue with ourselves. So within yourself, you have to, you know, the bear teaches us to set goals. Maybe you're not setting the right goals. Maybe that's why the bear is behaving the way he does when he presents himself. I know here in Columbus, Ohio, I don't see too many bears unless I go to the zoo, but not to say that they're not out there. Now, a lot of these you're familiar with, and you'll probably had other people tell you different things about different animals. The next animal that I want to speak about is called the snake. The snake represents change, a transmutation. You know, shedding of the skin, crawling on the ground, being moving in a slithering path. Well, the snake is not a bad sign. None of these signs, in my opinion, are bad. Every animal represents and every animal gives and teaches. So when you see the snake, don't look at it as a bad thing. The snake is a transmutation. As humans, we're always transmuting. We're always changing, regardless of what you believe or you think. Even in our medical symbol, the double helix of the snake, the representation of our DNA, or shedding. The energy is very powerful, very cosmic. The alchemy for it is very, very strong. Now, the contrary on the snake is maybe we're not releasing our outer skin. Maybe we're not willing to transmute and change. Maybe we're so stubborn that we don't want to do that. Maybe the snake is a symbol for us to tell us, you know, it's time for us to change a bit. Get into that new rhythm. So when you see snake, even if you go to the zoo and you see these animals, they're speaking to you. You see them on a nature show, they're speaking to you. So you have to understand, towards the end of our show, we'll do onto a small meditation. And what we'll talk about, and I'll guide you through, and hopefully you'll find your animal guides for the day. One of my favorite animals is the skunk. You're probably wondering why I say skunk. Well, you know, skunk, his medicine is very powerful. He puts his message out there. It's pretty blunt. It's pretty forward, pretty straightforward. And his medicine's reputation. He has a reputation to spray you, and you'll never forget it. And that reputation you'll never forget. So the skunk is very powerful medicine. You can laugh all you want. For a little animal, he has a lot of power. Unlike other predatory animals, the skunk does not threaten your life or try to eat you. Neither does a deer or, you know, maybe a moose, but a bear will eat you. And a hawk will attack you. And an eagle will also swipe at you if you're in his domain. It's all about attitude. That's reputation. The skunk teaches you. Even though I'm small and I'm not as big as a mountain lion or a dog or a big bear, my reputation stands and precedes me. If you get in my way, and I have to defend myself, and I'll spray you. What's the contrary? What is the contrary on the skunk? Okay, the skunk. your reputation, your self-esteem, the truth about yourself. You know, the nonchalantness about you, the neutralizing effect, the linking energies of you. You know, that's what you have to look at. So when you come across this stuff, what is my reputation? How does it perceive me? Do I have balance? Do I spray too much? Am I overspraying people? Am I being too blunt? And now we move to another one of my animals that I like. It's the otter. So playful. The otter is woman medicine. The medicine held by the otter is less than a female energy. It applies both men and women. All of us have a female side. And otter's hide is very often used to make medicine bags for powerful women because it represents balance and female energy. You know, the otter is very caring and takes care of its brood. And for hours and hours, it will play. A joyful little creature, very adventurous, and will do a lot of things. So when you think of otter or you see otter, it's woman medicine. On the contrary, and this goes for men and women, you know, sometimes maybe we're not gentle or we're not feminine enough and we're not taking care of ourselves in the way we should. So be like the otter a bit. You know, relax a bit. So now we covered otter. We covered several animals so far, but I wanted to keep going because one of the probably most important ones, and you probably have heard of this, is the butterfly. Butterfly medicine is very, very, very powerful. And it's a representation of being on the ground, crawling, and then a reborn transformation. That's the butterfly. Transformation. It's something that was completely different. Genetically, DNA, everything. The butterfly, when he's a caterpillar, he has nothing, no remnants, and completely different when he becomes a butterfly or she becomes a butterfly. The transformation. Sometimes when we look at our lives, where we are in this stage of life, we ask ourselves, you know, where am I? Am I in the cocoon? Am I the butterfly? Am I the calypus? We're all in these different stages. Egg stage is just, you know, thoughts or ideas. In the larva stage, do I need to make more decisions? In the cocoon stage, I'm developing and doing something to make an idea a reality. Four is the birth stage. I'm sharing. I become this beautiful butterfly. Now I can fly my wings. And then the cycle repeats itself when you lay the egg. And the contrary, on the butterfly, you have to understand, the butterfly, if it is weakened, if you try to be helped out of its cocoon, you will actually kill it. You will actually damage it. You will make it deformed. So now, as a butterfly, ask yourself, you know, what stages of life am I in your life? The butterfly medicine is very, very powerful medicine. Because of the butterfly is probably one of the most transformation, the most change for people. I would have to say, in my stage of my personal life, that I am probably in the cocoon stage, that I have a lot to grow, a lot to learn yet. So that's one of your quests, 20 of things that you need to learn, being a butterfly. Butterfly medicine is very popular. People have different takes about it and different ways to understand it. So now we go to the Great Mother, the Great Spirit, the clothes of my heart. We talk about the turtle medicine. The turtle represents Mother Earth, Earth Mother, Turtle Island, the land of my ancestors, not just North American native, also South American native. The turtle represents, it's the oldest symbol on the planet. It's a personification of goodness and goddess energy, the eternal mother, the soil, the soil we walk on. Now I challenge you to take your shoes off once in a while out there and feel the medicine of the turtle. Feel the Mother Nature's medicine on your feet. Because you know what? You'll be surprised. When your feet touch soil, you'll feel a sense of coldness at first. You feel the grooves touch your foot. That's why a lot of indigenous people around the world don't necessarily get sick. We all inhale. A lot of indigenous people, the lymphatic points on your foot are moved by, you know, the contours of the earth, stones, rock, and that pushes. It's like a reflexology of the Mother Earth. She gives you a reflexology. Excuse me. So when Mother Earth touches you, your foot, it's probably one of the most unappreciated gifts of Mother Earth, turtle energy. Next time when you walk on the ground, rainy day, snowy day, beautiful day, feel it. I mean, sometimes we take our shoes off before we come into our home. Why isn't that? And why don't we do that when we're outside? Well, it's very simple. It's very to understand. Earth Mother, it grounds us. It helps us. It connects us with our energy. So the turtle, you know, the contrary of the turtle, you know, the reverse, is not to appreciate that. You know, the earth is helpless in a sense. But we could do so much for her that we don't. We're flippant, you know, about her. We abuse her. And one day she's going to tuck her head inside and her feet in, and she's going to turn on her back, and it's going to be a very bad place for our doing, for our survival. Mother Earth will never, never suffer. She would just change, and she would transmute. She would become gentle, and she would transform. She will do all the things that the animals tell and say. And that's the same way we have to be. We have to be like the animals. Now, I know that some people have run across the moose. Moose energy, you know, it's usually found in the north as a medicine wheel in some bands. It's kind of like the buffalo, too. It represents the same thing, wisdom. And our band, in the buffalo states in the west, so I guess the moose would sit in the west for us. Excuse me. Do I clear my throat here? I apologize. You know, the call of the male moose, awesome thing to hear. I've heard it. The musky spring night, you can hear the moose in the background making this horrible sound, kind of like someone's dying. But the moose is very, 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 very confident. It's about self-esteem. He doesn't care. He's very proud, very majestic. And he'll do anything to protect his breeding ground and protect his offspring and where he's going to go. So, the moose, on the contrary, you know, you have to understand, am I like the moose? How is my self-esteem? Am I like the moose? Am I upside down or am I right side up? Do I take care of what's mine? How is my self-esteem? Do I speak too much? Do I overstep my bounds? Self-esteem doesn't mean that you're cocky. Now, probably one of the most cutest little animals that I, in my opinion, is porcupine. Porcupine, you know, falls under innocence. The porcupine is an innocent creature if you look at it. He was blessed with quails, his little quails, and he kind of doesn't want to be bothered. His energy is you know, just very almost childlike, innocence, humility, playfulness. You know, many animals stay away from porcupines. They're not really a good meal, and for many good reasons. If you ever got stabbed in the face or on the butt or wherever with porcupine quails, I'm sure you will never forget that. So, I mean, ask yourself, you know, where are you? How are you? Or are you innocent? How is your innocence? I mean, are you just belly up? So, the porcupine, very innocent creature. I I apologize that my throat is just a little scratchy today. The coyote. The coyote medicine has been around for many, 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 many years. The coyote is actually the trickster. Pretty broad trickster is the dog medicine, I would say. Dog medicine is the coyote medicine, and your dog is kind of a trickster. You know, ask yourself, you know, are you a little devilish? Or do you do things? Do you behave one way in front of other people and then act another way? That's what a coyote is. Trickster. Just when he has your confidence, he's biting you. So how are you? How does it affect you? How are you? Are you a trickster? Do you treat people like that? Do you treat yourself like that? Remember, what you do to other people, you do to yourself. Even if you're mad at someone, you're actually putting out those chemicals into your system too. So, you know, ask yourself. You know, are all your jokes exploding in your face? Are you everything when that's the contrary, you know? Are you actually tricking yourself when you think you're tricking others? Are you hurting yourself? Oh, the dog. And we covered him a little bit. Because, you know, most people have dogs. Most people have cats. The dog is about loyalty. And I think I covered that earlier. The dogs represent mobility to the better end. I mean, your dog will defend you. Most dogs, I hope. And so it's, you know, the end. And they're always by your side. They're there to teach you this medicine, to be true and loyal to your friends, especially to yourself. All medicine is self-medicine. So you have to understand, medicine in general represents you and the folks around you. So when the dog medicine is presented to you every day, so if you have a dog, you have to ask yourself, am I loyal? How am I loyal to you? To myself and to the people around me? Am I a servant soldier? Am I there? Do I represent my tribe? When I say tribe, it's my home, my people. So the contrary is very simple. Are you the opposite of loyal? You know, I mean, are you? Do you speak the truth? Is it spoken? I mean, dogs are just one of those creatures. I mean, I've seen a few, you know, but very little. They are just, I mean, sometimes you wonder who's really getting served. When you have to take care of your animal, well, he really owns you. You don't own him. But dogs are just majestic, loyal, and noble creatures. And sometimes we abuse that. Because whatever we abuse in animals, we abuse in ourselves. So it's just a mirror. Everything's a mirror. Animals are just a reflection of us. The wolf. Many people pull this sign or hear or come across wolves a lot. Well, the wolf is, you know, it's the pathfinder, the forerunner. He's the teacher. He goes out into the world to search and comes back to the clans and teaches the clan of the dogs. And he's loyal like the dog. And the wolves, you know, they keep company, they stay together, and they teach family, and they work together. They're a pack. So your dog is kind of like part of the pack, except he knows his role, where he sits. So in the great star, the north, that's where generally the wolf sits. Dogs have been around for many, 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 many centuries, like I've said earlier. So you ask yourself, in the contrary, are you learning? Are you telling? Are you teaching? Are you allowing the Great Spirit into your heart? Are you allowing? Are you just howling and growling? So it's very important to understand that you're learning, you're teaching, and you're the Great Spirit. Then we go to the raven. The raven is a very powerful bird, and its medicine is a magic. And it's been across centuries, and you've seen it in history books, and you've seen it in movies, you've seen it in just about everything, or some type of representation of the raven. It's pitch black. It's mystical as the moon. And it speaks magic and will fly with you soon. So the raven magic is a powerful medicine. Raven magic is, I guess, symbolizes change in a sense, where the magic can change you and, you know, just understanding and analyzing. And it always kind of gets represented with the dark side of things. And I don't think that that's always true. I mean, when you put a combination of animals together, if you get a message of a hawk and a raven together, it could be the message of darkness or lightness. I mean, it really depends on how you want to interpret things. You can interpret things to the side where it's very, I want to say morbid or very dark. But the raven's not necessarily a dark creature, he's just dark. And shamans do a lot with ravens, and they have a lot of different things that they incorporate into their medicine. And it's a medicine you don't just take lightly. You have to take it very serious if you ever come across raven. Because raven is a magic that can be very deceiving, and it's very ancient medicine. You know, it's magic to remember, magic to encounter. Now, mountain lion, you know, is very difficult power. Very difficult totem, because it's it kind of falls in the same category as your cat at home, because big cats and little cats are, you know, little cats are just little versions of big cats like mountain lions, and they represent leadership, and they're very, and you know, cats kind of fall under that leadership, that secretive. So you come across a lot of mountain lions. You know, just be, understand, you know, they're very proud. They're very leaderish. And they like to show. And they stand and they observe and they're powerful and graceful. So ask yourself, are my leadership qualities, how are they affecting? Are they, am I a good leader? Am I doing well? As a mountain lion energy. So that would be the reverse, you know. You know, am I taking leadership roles? Am I the, like the mountain lion? Am I getting across my message? Then that brings us to another end, another cat, the lynx, the secrets. If you ever want to find out what secrets are, ask the lynx medicine. Unfortunately, it's difficult to get the silent lynx to speak. Lynx doesn't call. It doesn't, you know, just meow. Or it doesn't just make sounds like a mountain lion's very well, I'm a leader, you want to listen to me. The lynx is a keeper of the secret. Lost magical systems, occult knowledge. Lynx have the ability to move through time and space and to go into great silence of universal and mystery. The lynx is not the guardian of secrets, but knower of secrets. So the lynx is the knower of secrets. So, as the contrary, everything you have to understand, are you the keeper of secrets? Or are you out there telling everybody, oh, you know what, such and such person is doing this? You know, that's where you have to ask yourself, where am I falling? Where am I coming to? What's going on, you know? Am I a blabbermouth as I talk? So, when I tell you about these animals, these are just different things that I've learned about them. And how I'm applying them to my life. And now when we get to the buffalo, represents prayer and abundance. I don't want to get into too much detail. I know it's a Lakota tradition about the white buffalo and the calf woman and who brought the sacred pipe to the people and taught them to pray. And the bull pipe was, you know, respectable and held high. So, I mean, not to get into something that I really don't truly understand, because I would be lying if I did, but the buffalo represents prayer and abundance. The buffalo is wise. I mean, it falls in the category of type of wisdom, a willingness to the earth. So when you see buffalo or you encounter buffalo, think prayer and abundance. And the opposite, the contrary to that is, would be not to have forgotten, you know, forgotten God, forgotten myself, forgotten to honor forgotten and grateful, you know, it's just everything that I say is just the opposite. Whatever you think that would be, that it is. So what I'm saying is nothing new. And earlier we talked about mouse. The scrutiny. The mouse falls under scrutiny. You know, the mouse touches everything with its whiskers in order to know it. Very paradoxical. It has great power. You know, it's very powerful and a great weakness. It's good medicine. The mouse can't, it has poor vision. It can't see things like very well, but he can touch with. That's why he has such big whiskers and his tail is so long. And, you know, the mouse probably has more enemies than anybody. Birds, snakes, cats. And a mouse is food for a lot of people. So, you know, when you ask yourself, you know, do I have mouse medicine? You know, it's very powerful medicine. The mouse medicine, it angers a lot of people. Mouse is he's a nitpicker, you know, he's a gatherer, and then he's also kind of dirty, you know, he just kind of leaves his droppings wherever he wants. But, you know, like I said, this is his home, it's not your home, you think you own it, but it's not yours. It's the animals. Now, they're either invited in or they're not. So, scrutiny, ask yourself, scrutinize yourself a bit. You know, are you flamboyant, are you too much? Do people, tell you things and then you don't listen? You don't like to be scrutinized? I mean, the mouse could be a conqueror. The mouse, you know, we've heard stories of the mouse has also helped the bigger creatures when he's pulled the stake out of the lion's foot. Very metaphoric. So the mouse is looking within yourself. One of my favorite is the owl. It has medicine. Very omonic, very omen, very time and space, very silent, casting deception. The owl represents clairvoyance and, you know, astral projection, magic, both black and white. Owl is called a night eagle on several medicine wheels used by different indigenous people. The owl generally sits in the east like most birds do and is illuminated. The owl is in the dark when it flies. Its wings are very silent. I mean, you can't even hear it when it flaps. The feathers are so light. I know that a lot of people in many tribes believe that the owl is medicine of death. Again, these are just people's beliefs and different things that they've encountered. Deception doesn't mean a bad thing. Would be, are you deceiving yourself? Are you deceiving others? Are you deceptive? The Greeks, you know, very, very, very notable for using the owl. You've seen, probably seen movies where the owl was represented and the owl was actually a metal creature. So, owl medicine is very powerful. You know, if an owl presents itself to me, what am I like? What's going on? What's going on in my life? Before we get started again for the next 15 minutes, we're gonna go over a couple, few more animals. I mean, there's tons of animals I can go through, but we'd be here all night. Now, the beaver. We'll just go real quick. The beaver is the builder. You know, are you building or are you tearing down? He's the doer. He makes the kingdom. He can block waterways. He can block earth energy, incorporate it, change it. So are you a beaver? You know, the beaver's coming to you. Are you willing to work with others? Are you resentful of working with others? I mean, it's the contrary. Very simple. And a possum. A possum falls under a diversion. You know, it plays dead in order to, you know, confuse. And the predator doesn't believe in that the game is over. Some predators won't attack an animal that's laying there dead, you know, because dead animals don't taste good. Most predators. They may taste good to some birds that pick at them, but, you know, that's sometimes it's either. Are we just going to roll over and just die? Are you the possum? Are you diversion? Using diversions on people, on yourself? Do you just close your eyes and dramatize? Do you just lay there? Do you have to defend your rights to be? I mean, come on. The possum power is powerful because if you look around, and especially in cities, you get a possum powers a lot. You see a lot of possums dead on the road, and you see a lot of possums come across you, or they're in your trash. So think about it. Then we get to the crow. The crow is calling. The crow is about law, the medicine of the law. Fascination. The crow talks of it. It has a lot to do with the dead. It's the left-handed guardian. The crow knows unknowable mysteries in creation. Kind of falls in the same kind of category with the raven in a sense. It's kind of a magical thing. The book of laws, the book of seals. And that's where the crow falls. The crow has actually been around and has been used in many, 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 many different magical and very many historical, you know, finds in the world. So you ask yourself, you know, the crow, you know, how are you judging? Are you doing the things that you're supposed to do? Do you plan? Are you extreming? So it's the contrary to law. Are you the opposite of that? Then we come to the fox. The fox is a beautiful animal. The fox, you know, is very cunning. It uses the camouflage medicine. That's why they say the wily fox, and, you know, especially in woodlands, especially in England when they're chased, you know, by a pack of wild dogs. The fox, you have to be a fox. You know, ask yourself: are you camouflaging yourself? Are you using camouflage medicine? Are you camouflaging yourself from the friends, from the people, from yourself? Or do you use the camouflage when you need to be aware? Now, don't be foolish, because you know, a fox could be foolish and could be cunning. And you may fool yourself. So don't be fooled. We talked a little bit about squirrel earlier. Squirrel is kind of the gatherer. Gets his nuts together. And he gets things ready for winter. And he's kind of like the little Boy Scout out there. You see him all over. That's a medicine. It's kind of an erratic behavior. Sometimes I've seen squirrels where they've been in houses and they just are crazy. They act like they've never had guests over. They're just loud and obnoxious sometimes. But they're cute little things. You know, they take care of things and they get into your bird feeders and they disrupt the bird feeder. So ask yourself, are you gathering? Are you preparing? That's what the squirrel represents. So when you're out in the world and you're kind of out there looking, we see squirrels all the time. So that's a pretty powerful medicine, especially in the city and in the times that we live in. Are we like the squirrel at all? I mean, are we hoarding or are we gathering? There's a difference between hoarding and gathering, because gathering is preparing and hoarding is just applying and multiplying and multiplying until we can't put any more in and we can't use them. It's going to waste and, you know, we're not using it. So now, this will be our last animal. Is actually insects are animals too, in the medicine wheel. We talk about dragonfly medicine. That's the dream time. It's the illusions. It's the things that when we close our eyes, are we like a dragonfly? Do we ride the wind? Or we're the dragon. The wings are scaly like the dragon. So, on the contrary of that, how are you creating illusions of your life? Like, are they really the way they're supposed to be? Are you just dive bombing? Are you just looking to crash? And ask yourself, how does that fall? It's illusions. Well, I hope I've given you a little bit to kind of work with. And there's other things that we put on my site at avgarcia.com or withinsights.com. There's a lot of animals, and what I want you to do is just kind of take on and carry on what the animals represent to you. Certain animals represent certain things to me, and that's how I look at them. I journal every day, especially when animals come across, and I try to understand them. They are my brothers and they are my sisters, and they're here as my protection. So now, basically what I want to do is kind of take into a meditation. A very slight meditation. What I want you to do is just relax for a few minutes. I want you to breathe. Find a nice, comfortable place where you just kind of relax. You can lay on the floor, you can sit in a chair. The basic idea is just to be free. I want you to think about today. What happened today? What animals came across your path? What animals spoke to you? What animal is significant to you in your life? just sit there and kind of reflect back on today. Think about all the different little four legs, us two legs, that we take for granted. So sit back for a few minutes. Just breathe in. Breathe into your nose. Breathe out. Breathe and hold. Breathe. This is what I want you to do. I want you to kind of relax on a regular basis. And I want you to understand the breathing meditation. You take three deep breaths. Inhale through the nose. Exhale through the mouth. Take a deep breath. Four counts. Go out through the mouth. And inhale through the nose. Exhale through the mouth. Inhale. Four counts. Exhale. I want you to inhale with four counts, the nose. Fill those lungs up. Hold for four. Then empty your mouth. It's really important to understand to breathe. The animals breathe without even thinking about it. Sometimes as humans, we don't breathe enough. So that's why we have a lot of problems. When you forget to breathe, that can cause problems. So take this little exercise, you know, breathing, and thinking about an animal that has crossed your path. I do have a video on the animal bundle and the different animals that we encounter. You can find it on Amazon.com, or you can actually find it at my website at edgarcia.com. And it talks about a lot of things we talked about. It's a little more detailed. It's in video format where you can actually go through a guided meditation. We didn't have enough time to do a guided meditation today, but I gave you a breathing meditation. It's very important. It'll be up on my website, too, so you can kind of look at it. You can, you know, teach your friends, teach your kids how to use this breathing meditation. It was taught to me by one of my elders. So what I want you to do is just take a moment. Think about all the things we talked about today, since we talked about a lot of different things, about all the animals that come into our lives, into our being. So let's be grateful. Let's be thankful for God's gifts to us. For man has domain over the animals, as it's told, but Mother Nature has domain over us. Even though we think we control her, when she throws a hurricane on us, and when she puts us in that position where we have to survive, who's really in charge? Like I said, the animals get it. They understand. They're the first ones to leave before a tsunami. They're the first ones to leave before a hurricane. They're the first ones to leave before earthquakes or any type.